It's very wonderful to be with God's people that are not compromising. And therefore, when you hear strong messages, it doesn't bother you because you're already doing it. Isn't that wonderful? Thank the Lord. I've been thinking about a compromise. That word per se is not in the Bible, but that action is in the Bible over and over again. And when we first heard of the Church of God, this the real body of Jesus, we collectively, individually, are the body of Jesus, the bride. We were a part of a body that we thought was collectively, individually together, the body of Christ. While there might be, and I'm not the judge, those that are individually in there, apart from that whole body, the body of Christ. But yet, we knew that collectively, all together, it was not the body of Christ. And then later on, we found out about this body here, and we were researching it out, if I can use that word. If you're going to buy gold, you want to make sure it's real gold, right? If you're going to buy diamonds and rubies, you want to be sure they're the real ones. You're not going to pay that high price for a fake phony. So you research it, you ask questions, you delve in, and we might have even made a lot of the ministers mad. It tells us here in Genesis 25, verse 27, we all are familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau. There were twins that were born. One was loved more than the other by the parents. It says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. 29, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. In the year 1624, there was a man named Peter Minuit. And he went to New Amsterdam. It was a small piece of land. I believe it was 31 miles by 31 miles square. And he desired that land. The native Indians owned it. It was theirs. So he came with a compromise for them. I'll give you this and you give me that. And he brought a little surprise box. Inside of the little box, it's just a little box. There was some real fine, smooth, silk-like material. Some little beads. They weren't even gold or pearls. It was just little beads. Inexpensive beads that really did a lot of shining. And a lot of other little trinkets. I don't remember what all was in there. But if you were to calculate the price of it around today, it would be a little bit more than $24, the cost of it. What was in there. He opened it, he gave it to them, and he made signs to them. I don't know if he was with an interpreter or what, but they understood that I'll give you this, and you give me the land. They pulled it out and started looking at it, and they were attracted to it. And so they made the deal, they made the compromise. Peter Minuit remained with New Amsterdam, and they took the little surprise box. Now, if those Indians could be transported to 2001 and see that island right now, called now Manhattan Island, and see all that is on it and being produced on it, the thousands of billions of dollars that are being produced off of it, do you think they would have traded it for $24, a little surprise box? I don't think so. But they couldn't see all the way. They only saw the moment. What they had seemed to be not much, but that little box was something special. It attracted them. It appealed to their human desires, the attraction of the eye. It looked pretty. It glittered. It felt smooth. It was something they had not seen quite that way before. And today, I don't know all of the buildings that are there, but some of the attractions are the Empire State Building. You all know about the Empire State Building. My wife and I got to go to the Empire State Building. I'd always heard about it. I think it was for our anniversary, our first year of being married. We've been married almost 11 years now. And it was so neat to go up there to the very top. And it was so romantic, my wife and I looking over the, way in the very top and looking at all the lights. That's the island that they gave up, that piece of land that they gave up, that they made the compromise for. On that piece of land is also, the Rockefeller Center, Times Square, Wall Street, and many other things that I'm not real familiar with it enough to tell you all the details, but it's a very, it's worth more than $24. And brothers and sisters, this is the position that Esau found himself in. In a moment of weakness, yes. He was so weak, he thought he wasn't going to make it. He thought, well, what good is this going to do me if I die, was the idea. Wasn't he a little exaggerating? But that's what he felt at the moment, like he was going to die. The devil would like to bring us through situations where we feel that we can't continue any longer. This is too much. The cost, what I have to deny myself and leave behind, is just too much to give up. You know that the devil appears as an angel of light? Something very attractive and beautiful. And the devil will appear that way to us in something or in someone. That's why we see marriages being torn apart. That angel of light appeared in someone. Yes. We see ministers leaving. The angel of light appeared and made a compromise. It glittered. It felt wonderful. I can't live without that thing or that someone. And off they go and sell their birthright for a little bowl of lentils, vegetables, beans. Something that just lasted a little moment after you eat it. How long does it take you to eat a little bowl of soup? Maybe 5 minutes? Today people are trading their birthright or their eternal inheritance in Christ for a little moment of pleasure. David almost did that with Bathsheba. But he repented and the Lord had mercy. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Against thee and against thee only have I sinned. He repented. He paid a price. He lost his child. He couldn't build a temple for the Lord. He lost the main place that he had to begin with. But the Lord restored him to another useful position. But it's not always that story like with David, nor like with Peter when he wept bitterly. Sometimes people don't repent. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, the only way we can repent is that the Holy Spirit moves us to repentance. Yes. It doesn't come from us. He's wooing us and moving us and convicting us. If the Holy Spirit withdraws because we've gone too far, we can't expect to repent again. It's the Holy Spirit's work to move us to conviction. And so we do need to be careful. Not say, I'll just do it this one time and I'll go back to where I was. That might not happen. That's what happened with Esau. He sold and later on, when the father was blessing Jacob, he said, oh, father, is there not one blessing left for me? Bless me, oh, bless me. Tells us even though he sought it with tears, it was too late. Amen? The devil wants us to compromise. I see here that God's people, and even though y'all are not dressed exactly like God's people in those days, we see them in black and white, I still see y'all, and when I first saw God's people, I said, these must be God's two people. Just first of all, just by looking, and then testing the spirit, asking the questions, really deep questions, to the point that some ministers were shaking and walked away mad. May the Lord help us. Amen? But I found out that there are two people. This is God's true way. These are God's two people. Anyway, Jacob and Esau. What I was going to say about God's true church. Excuse me. We got to visit the compromise church. We heard about it. I read about it. And they were saying Anderson this and Anderson that. Excuse me. About a year and a half after we started fellowshipping with God's people and coming to Guthrie and to Edmond and other places, Monarch. And my wife and I were driving through Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we saw a sign outside that said New Beginnings. And at that time we were visiting churches, not because we were yet looking, but we were looking for lost sheep in the false churches. Like Paul, it was his custom to visit the synagogues, according as his custom was. That's our custom still. So we entered this, we found out when the meeting would be, and we went. And the minister was not there. They were showing a film. And in that film, they were showing their camp meeting. I said, oh, they call it camp meeting too. And lo and behold, they mentioned D.S. Warner. D.S. Warner would have done it this way. And D.S. Warner would have handled it that way, they were saying. And we're not. Oh, I wish we had lived in the days of D.S. Warner, they were saying, the man preaching. And I looked around and says, this cannot be. This is the church of God? And I asked. And I asked, are y'all branched out of, based out of Anderson, Indiana? Oh, yes, we are. Have you been there? No. I said, so is this the church of God? Well, we're not sure. We call it New Beginnings. And I looked for literature, and sure enough, it was the church of God. And we sat through that service, and I was so disappointed. You could see all the compromise. They were no longer singing the songs. They had a hymn book in the corner. We saw it, and there were some of the Indian Light songs in it. They weren't singing out of it. They were singing the more modern songs. We're not criticizing for that, but I'm just saying that those more modern songs were very empty in comparison to these songs, the ones that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. The women were dressed. Please, I hope I'm not offending you all. They were dressed in jogging pants, no sleeveless, with tattoos all over their arms. Of course, they're new, of course. Some of them were not. Some of them have been going there 5 years. But anyway, they're still new. Cut hair. The women had cut hair, short as mine. Earrings, jewelry, makeup. And we were standing behind them watching them worship the Lord. And I was so almost disgusted. The women had this real tight clothing on. I'm just talking about the outward appearance. But I did not feel the rejoicing that I feel among God's people. And again, not to criticize them. But that's how far compromise will take us. Yes. You would have to be there to understand what I'm saying. And so we told them, we know the original ones. There was a couple who went to us, and we know the original ones. Original what, they said. Because they were new only like 10 years, that couple. And they were the main ones. There's some of the pillars there. And anyway, they said, are you Pentecostals? Because my wife was dressed modestly, and I was saying, amen, praise the Lord. And but yet, she was dressed like a United Pentecostal, is what they would call it, or an apostolic. And I said, yeah, we're the real Pentecostals from Acts chapter 2, I told them. But we know the original church, and they still exist. And they said, what do you mean? They never got it, the couple, for 10 years. They never understood what I was talking about. They don't know that there is still a remnant that exists of God's true people. They have no idea what that means. We left there so sad with them, but yet rejoicing, thanking the Lord that I said, wow, it's amazing that God has preserved a remnant. Praise the Lord that has not compromised. Yes. Among the remnant, there are those that are compromising and those that have compromised. But there is a remnant that has not compromised. And you're not going to be offended with what I'm saying about the way women are dressed because you haven't compromised. Yes. You're going, praise the Lord. That's right, brother. Preach it. Amen. Thank the Lord. So Esau despised his birthright. I once read in a book, I don't remember the title of it, but this is, I don't read that kind of stuff anymore, but it was like a book, a fiction book, and it was about a man that had a time machine. He invented a time machine, and he would get in it, and I don't remember all the details, but he'd get in it, and he'd go into the future, and he started experimenting little by little, like at the horse races, he'd go into the future and find out which horses were going to win. Just a few days in the future and then come back and then bet on that and win money. I'm not saying any of you should do that, but He was getting money and going to the future to find out about this and about that. And I just wondered if those Indians could have been transported to right now to 2001 and they saw Manhattan Island, which was New Amsterdam then. When Peter Minuit came to them with a little box, a surprise box, and wanted to make the compromise, what do you think they would have done? No way. You're out of your mind. I'm not doing that. No way. No compromise, no deal. Do you know that by faith we can be transported in prayer, in reading the Word of God, in a meeting like this, by faith transported into the future to see heaven and the glories of heaven? I remember Sister Sherry, Brother Rich's wife, remember that at Monarch she spoke about, she got a dream and that people, they were standing at the gates of heaven. She was standing in the background and they were opening the gates of heaven. They were looking in. They were going, oh, I can't believe it. What they were seeing is God opened the gates of heaven and they were peeking in. She said, oh, I wish I could have gotten to peek in. By faith, we get a little peek. Yes. During the songs, during the preaching, during a testimony like a while ago when our sister was testifying that she's going all the way with her Jesus. That touches me. Because it's wonderful to be with people that feel the same way. It's wonderful to be with people that want to go all the way with their Jesus. It's so sad to be with people that are compromised. They're so cold and so formal and so... Let's not become like that, brothers and sisters. Don't let your marriage with Jesus become dull and boring. You keep the zest and the zeal. You praise Him. You say hallelujah to Him. You sacrifice for Him. You do things for Him to show Him that you love Him. Not to buy Him out. Once you're married, you can't be married again. You're already married. Once you're saved, you can't be saved again. You're already saved. You're not buying your salvation. You're doing things to show Jesus that you love Him. When a woman doesn't cut her hair and she lets it grow out, it says in 1 Corinthians 11, it's an ordinance. You're not letting your hair grow to save you. You're letting it grow out without cutting it to show Jesus that you love Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, oh, Brother Tony, that's legalism. No, it isn't. Read 1 Corinthians 11. It says, I praise you for keeping the ordinances that I handed down to you. Yes. The long uncut hair in women is an ordinance. The short hair in a man is an ordinance. The woman wearing her hair up to cover her head. For any woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. The long hair has been given in place of the veil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thankful that y'all have not compromised. Praise the Lord. I really am. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers. Help us, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful that by faith we can be transported and get a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of our face, the face of our Jesus. When we get those glimpses, we're lifted up. Oh, it's just so wonderful, isn't it? Do you get those glimpses? Or do you just see this meeting and it's just about the meeting? I hope not. I hope you get transported while we're singing the songs or hearing prayer just into heaven and you go, ooh, ah. One time we went to see a fireworks display. Brother Philip and Sister Rosie came over and they wanted to see, the kids wanted to, and we took them to one. I usually don't watch fireworks. It's kind of boring to me, but with them it was exciting. So we went to this big arena, a stadium, and they were giving a free fireworks display. And we sat in there and there were thousands of people and you would hear this, ooh, ah, almost synchronized, like that, because they were seeing things that it was wonderful. How much more will it be in heaven? How much more should it be now as the Lord reveals new things? Are we spending time reading the Word of God, or have we compromised too? You know, when you're alone reading the Word of God in the morning and the evening, you just, it's so wonderful. If you're not doing that, you need to start doing it. Don't underestimate the power of reading God's Word. Praise the Lord. Don't compromise your time with the Lord for something else. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us. One time there was a hunter that went into the forest to hunt, and he saw a bear in the distance. He wanted to get the bear fur. I don't know, to make a coat or something with it. He wanted a fur coat. And he saw the bear, and he pointed the rifle at it and had it there in view, and the bear turns around and says, wait a minute, let's talk about it a little bit. I mean, of course, it was a story. And the man is shocked that the bear is talking to him. And in the conversation of them, you know, talking it out, making a deal, the man forgot about his rifle and set it down. And the bear says, you know, what do you want? He says, I want your coat. And the bear says, well, I want a meal. And so they compromise, and nothing can be seen in the forest because of the forest is way back there. And after a little minute, after the compromise, out comes the bear. He had done a compromise. He had eaten the man. The man got his fur coat, and the bear got his meal. And you know, that's the way the devil will do. He'll compromise with us. We'll come out the losers. We might get what we think we're looking for. The devil will get what he's looking for. He wants your soul. You might get your fur coat. It might be mink. But it'll come at a great cost. The loss of your spiritual eternal life. Praise the Lord. Oh, may we not compromise. May we not even sit there and reason with the world, with our friends. Oh, you'd look much better if you did this to your face. You'd look much better if you wore this. Oh, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to say, no, that's settled. No compromise. I settled that a long time ago. You know, one thing I love about my wife, when she was younger, she doesn't mind me telling this, when she was younger, she was always raised wearing dresses. But she went through a time when she worked at a place where she had to wear pants. What I mean is that in order to work there, she had to wear pants. She didn't have to work there, but she was in a desperate situation. And so she started wearing pants only to the uniform pants to the work. This was a long time ago when she was younger. And pretty soon, she got used to it, and she was wearing pants to go out, do other things. Yes. And one day, she was, I think, in a subway station area somewhere, and a woman got out, and the men were looking at her and saying all kinds of sensual, disgusting things about her. And my wife heard her as she walked with her back to them. They were looking at that part. And my wife was just so saddened by what they were saying. They weren't giving her respect. They were saying horrible things. Is that what you want? And my wife was so convicted by the Lord that she went home and she got all of her pants and clothing that was not modest, as we read in 1 Timothy and 1 Peter. So read in Deuteronomy that it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and for a man to wear that which pertaineth unto a woman. That was under the Old Testament, but yet anything that is an abomination to the Lord then, yes, is still an abomination to the Lord now, because He does not change. Amen. Amen. So my wife got rid of it. And you know, when I met her, that's one of the things that I asked her, how do you usually dress? She goes, oh, I always wear dresses. And I said, why? I want to know why. She said, because somebody told you to? Do you do it because it's a legal code? She says, no, the Lord spoke to me. She told me that story. And I said, praise the Lord. That's the kind of woman I want. The Lord convicts her, and she does what is right. I've been married to her almost 11 years. We've cleaned houses. She's climbed ladders. She's never worn pants. She's gone jogging. She's never worn pants. Yes. I appreciate my wife. Thank the Lord. Amen. She doesn't compromise. May the Lord help us to compromise, to not compromise in any aspect of our life. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And you know, that's why there's so many false churches around, sectism, because they are compromising. You go, well, they're singing songs, they're reading scripture, they're going to the church, but they're not fully committed to the Lord. It's a deception. The Lord compromises. The devil brings you to that place of compromise, and you're deceived into thinking, because you're doing some of it, that you're going to make it to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That could be happening to us right here. You might not be compromising as much as the world is, but you might be compromising in something that is just as bad. And I'm not judging you, because I don't know. I really don't know too much about y'all except what I see of y'all at Monarch and Guthrie. And thank the Lord that when I see y'all, I'm thankful to still see you here. You pray for me too, that I won't be compromising any aspect of my life. May the Lord help us. No man can serve two masters. If you were to go to get your driver's license, let's say you were getting the first part, the written test, and you know all the answers, you studied it. Or let's just say you didn't study all of it, you don't know all the answers. You studied enough to know half of the answers. And you answer half of the answers right and half of the answers wrong. You get a 50% right. Would you get your driver's permit? You would have to answer all of them correctly, right? Well, not all of them, excuse me, but a large amount. If you understand what I'm saying. It's that way spiritually. The Lord wants us. He doesn't want just half of His will done. This is my word. We're going to find out that that's what the Bible says. And I know you know it. But we're here to be refreshed, stirred up. Amen. Thank the Lord. We might be going 90%. Amen. Could still be compromised. May the Lord help us. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's always going to be a struggle between us. And one is going to win, either the Lord or the world. But if we have it settled and we're serving the Lord with all that we are, there's no compromise. Amen? There's no danger, because the Lord, like we were hearing just a while ago, He has all of us. All of us. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. Exodus 10, 24, it says, "And Pharaoh called unto Moses." Remember when the children of Israel were in Egypt, God sent Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron to deliver them by His mighty hand. And here, they were wanting to go into the desert to serve the Lord for a special feast. And Moses is appealing to Pharaoh. Pharaoh here is a type of the world, Satan. "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. 26. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither." You notice that it says not a hoof left behind. As we know, under the law, they needed sacrifices. They still weren't under the law yet, but they were already sacrifices to the Lord. And the Lord required that sacrifice. And they knew that they could go to a place of worship but not bring sacrifice, and the Lord would not accept it. Amen. Sister Maxine mentioned a while ago that she was not willing to die to herself. She wasn't willing for the sacrifice. And the Lord does require for us to take up a cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. Amen. A corn of wheat to multiply must fall into the ground and die. Amen. Oh, may the Lord help us to be willing to die daily, brothers and sisters. Not a hoof shall be left behind. We might say, oh, I love the Lord I just really love Him. But there's a little hoof of that love left for something else. The Lord might require that. Yes. Oh, I'm committed to the Lord, but yet sometimes you give more commitment to something else. There are exceptions in your life. There might be a hoof of your faith left behind, a hoof of your trust left behind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. Oh, may the Lord help me that not a hoof shall be left behind. Not a hoof of my affection, not a hoof of my love. No compromise, Satan. And that's the way it was. They did not compromise. Thank the Lord at that moment. Let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says right here, "Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them," God's people, they should have been worshiping in Jerusalem, "it is much too far for you to go up to Jerusalem." Oh, it's too far. You're tired. You deserve a break today. Oh, it's just too far. You shouldn't be giving so much to the Lord. You need to take a little breather sometimes. "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Verse 30. "And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan.
And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest people, which were not of the sons of Levi under the law. There was the Levitical priesthood, and he didn't follow that law of God. He picked out priests that were not the Levitical priesthood, that were less than what God required. 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the fifth day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel sacrifice it unto the calves, which he had made. Sometimes people make their own gods. They have a description of their God that isn't the same description of the real God. And he placed in Bethel priests of the high places which he had made. 33. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month, which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt sacrifice. Do you see the compromise here?
Yes, amen.
First of all, they're not worshiping the real God. They're first worshiping handmade gods. Be careful. He made priests that did not fulfill the requirements of God. That's why you have all these false preachers today worshiping a false God today that they've made up, that they've invented. Their God does not require this, and their God does not require that like our God does. And they ordain a feast. They have their conventions and their so-called camp meetings. They have their Sunday morning worship services, and sometimes Saturday night, and sometimes Friday, sometimes Wednesday night. It's something which they have devised of their own heart. Compromise. Earlier, Brother Doug was telling us about to avoid compromise in the ministry of the leadership. Jesus is the head, not the ministry. To avoid man rule. Man has compromised. They have a worship, and that's why thousands are flocking to them. We've seen some so-called church congregations where there's 5,000, and they have like maybe one service in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the night, the same preacher does, to fit all the people because they don't all fit in the same place. But they're flocking to this right here, a compromised worship, a man-made worship, a devised worship. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful?
Yes.
That you are under a headship, Jesus Christ, who is not compromised. You have a Holy Spirit that does not compromise. If you're under His leadership, He'll keep you from compromise. And He's giving you a new heart, a new mind that does not want to compromise. Praise the Lord. Oh, how thankful I am. May the Lord help us. Let those that stand take heed lest they fall.
Yes.
Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Here's Paul the Apostle writing. In the New Testament, this was the Old Testament where they compromised. Even shortly after Jesus left, there was already compromise beginning. This didn't just happen in the 1800s with the Anderson Church. I marvel that ye are so soon removed. I marvel that you have so soon compromised.
Yes.
I marvel that ye have so soon that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Often meet people, they're in Juarez, Mexico, and they say, well, what's the difference between what you teach and they teach? I mean, why? What's the difference? And they go, a big difference. But you'll have to sit here for several months for you to see the difference. Because we can't just drop it all in your lap, and the Lord's going to have to reveal it to you. We can give you the teaching, but the Lord will have to open your understanding. But I can't just tell you all in 1 minute. And even if I were to tell you, the Holy Spirit has to do the work in you for you to understand. But I'm telling you, we're the true servants. You stay and we'll show you that we're the true servants. We have surrendered to the Lord and we're preaching what the Word says. We're not preaching a compromised gospel. They were removed into another gospel, if there could be another gospel. There isn't, but you hear all those preachings out there that are not the Church of God. I don't judge all of them. Some could be saved. We're not saying that. For wherever there is a blood-bought soul, they are saved. I was in another church and I was saved. I testified to that. I was saved. I was a part of the Church of God before I started meeting here, but I was not at home.
I was in Babylon. Amen.
Verse 7, which is not another. Another gospel, which is not another. It's a compromised gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Haven't some of God's people experienced that recently in the last few years? Some that are perverting the gospel of Christ, saying that's not necessary. That's just a custom. That just is the tradition. Amen? When the Bible plainly states that it is the will of God. Verse 8. But though we or an angel. Whoa. Even an angel. Yeah, that angel of light. Jesus who appears as an angel of light. Amen. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach, I don't care how respected he is among the saints. I don't care if his great-grandmother has 5 generations back in the church of God. If any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received by the Holy Spirit through Jesus, than that which ye have been, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say it now again. So say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. 10. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If the gospel that is being preached sounds wonderful to you and it sounds easy, it's not the narrow way. It's a compromised gospel. Amen? Yes. We who love the Lord, it's not hard for us. We love Him. His commandments are not grievous to us. But the flesh does not like it. Amen? Our human nature does not like it. But thank the Lord that He's given us a new heart, a new mind. Implanted the Holy Spirit in us. And He loves it. He loves the Word of God. And therefore we do too. Amen? The Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof passeth. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We are saved by grace. We're not saved by what we do. But when we're saved, we're equipped to be able to do. A new heart, a new mind, the mind of Christ. We now want to do the will of God. Amen. And we are the doers of the will of God then. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Some people think, oh, you think you're going to be saved because you do such and such. No, I'm trusting in the grace of God. I'm trusting in the leading of His Holy Spirit. On that day, I'm going to say, I'm here before you on the day of judgment because of the blood of Jesus. Yes. Like the gates of heaven will be open to me only because of that. Amen? Only because of that. Thank the Lord. Some of you have heard this story. I heard it about 3 years ago. And it's about a father that had children. And he had raised his children without a television, and he didn't allow them to go to the movies. But there came up this movie that didn't seem that bad, and they came to the dad and presented the movie to them. And they said, Dad, our friends are going to go, and it's really not that bad. And they explained to the dad what would be in the movie and what the reviews said. And the dad said, well, what do the reviews say? He says, well, it's really good. It's a family movie, and there's family principles. Okay, now what's the bad? He said, well, there's this little flash of nudity, a bedroom scene, and it says 4 or 5 obscenities and just a few little things. Oh, just a few little things. Yes. Will you let us go, Dad, please? The dad was wise. He said, give me a day to think about it. Okay. So the next day they came and he thought about it. And he says, I'm going to let you go. You are dead. Yeah. But under one condition. Okay. What is it, dad? I baked you some cookies. The dad had baked him some cookies and he says, the condition is you have to eat the cookies. Oh, yes, dad, we'll eat the cookies. Said, I just want to tell you what's in the cookies first. Oh, it has the best brown sugar, imported raisins from another country, and whole wheat and all this good stuff in it. Oh, good. It sounds good, dad. It's a homemade glaze that I put on it. Oh, good. We're going to eat it, dad. But there's just a few little things that are really not that bad. Okay. I put just a little bit of cat urine and dog excrement in it. Ugh, how gross. But go ahead and eat it, then you can go to the movie. We're not going to eat that. No way, Dad. Mm-mm. Then you're not going to the movie. They got the point. Amen. The world will try to sell us the package. I don't know how many phone calls we get on the phone that you can get this satellite, you can get this on the... We don't even have a computer. You can get this on the computer, and you can get this on your cell phone. You can watch movies anywhere and anytime you want. Anywhere. I mean, even driving down the road, since they're in the car, I see them. Oh, may the Lord help us. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of good things on there. But there's some things in there that are going to make you sick, contaminate you. And cats and dogs carry diseases that can make you really sick for life if you eat, drink their urine and eat their... In fact, women that are pregnant, if they touch... Women that are expecting, if they touch where the cat used the bathroom and they eat their eyes and the mouth, they get a certain disease that the baby can be born deformed. It's that bad. It's not about the cats and the dogs. It's about not loving the things of the world, not compromising and saying, oh, it's really not that bad. Amen? Thank the Lord. Yeah. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. I'm not just talking about your TV at home or the movies. You can see it in other cell phones too. You think, oh, I can say I don't have a TV and I can say I don't go to the movies. But you're over there watching something else. That's going to contaminate you. If you love the world, you are going to lose your love for the world. Your love for the Lord. Pretty soon you're going to be contaminated, losing your standard. And similar to that service we're in, you're going to be like that dead form. And maybe even far away from the Lord. Who knows? May the Lord help us, saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice that it says the whole armor of God. Amen. There's Christians that say, well, I do this and I do that. And yeah, they might have part of the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 13. Wherefore take up unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're in the evil day, saints. Yes. And having done all to stand, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, praise the Lord, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. They'll bounce off of you. Those are darts that had fire on them, and they go, but you'd put up your shield, and they bounce off. That was naturally speaking. We can do that spiritually speaking. Faith in Christ is our shield. The faith of Christ is our shield. Yes. Praise the Lord. 17. And take the helmet of salvation. When we're saved, we're equipped with the mind of Christ. That mind of Christ is like a helmet. Amen? Yes. People have been in accidents and gotten hurt. Motorcycle accidents, gotten hurt. Riding their bikes because they didn't have a helmet on. Praise the Lord. We've got our spiritual helmet on. We're ready to do war with the devil. It's salvation. The gift from God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, there's a little difficulty there, saints.
I visit with people and I find out they don't read the Bible. You can tell by visiting with them. They don't talk much about the scripture. They don't quote it. They don't mention it in the prayers. And you wonder, why aren't they? Why don't they talk scripture? Could it be that we're not reading it? The sword of the Holy Spirit is what? Yes. The Word of God. Amen. If the Holy Spirit does not have the Word in your life, amen? You're without a sword.
Yes.
Amen? Your soul is without a sword. And without that sword, the devil's going to come at you with his sword and destroy. The Word of God is a sword. What have you done with your sword? Where is it? Do you pick it up every morning? Is it lying on your by your bed but collecting dust? When was the last time you read a book? My wife and I have the habit of reading verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I just got through reading Genesis. It took about 1 month. Every day in the bathroom reading a chapter or a chapter and a half or in this rushed life as much as I can. And you can be reading the Bible over and over again and it stays fresh in your mind and the Holy Spirit will bring it to your memory when you need it to fight the devil with it. Amen. Have you laid down your sword, brothers and sisters? If you are, you're compromising. May the Lord help us. May the Lord have mercy upon us, brothers and sisters. We don't want to lay down our sword. It says right here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is part of that shield, part of that armor, brothers and sisters. Thank the Lord. When I was growing up, I was little and started going to kindergarten. My mother was very protective of us. And I appreciate that of her, that she was protective of us, that she did care for us. And she would dress me with gloves and several layers of clothing and knit little, you know, helmet thing and just a lot of clothing, scarf and everything. And she'd send me to school that way. And I felt embarrassed because I was all like a little Eskimo. And I've never liked to put on a lot of clothes and I get hot real easily. So I would start taking it off. You know why our parents cover us up that way? Because they want to protect us from getting a cold, getting sick. But I'd be disrobing myself, taking it off. Do we find ourselves today saying, well, I don't need this part of the armor? If we are doing that, we're compromising. And that'll open the door for the devil. May the Lord help us. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, and the angel of God and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Here God sent this message telling them that they had compromised. And we are all familiar with these verses. There might be times in all of our lives when we feel that we're getting lukewarm. We weren't as hot as we should be. But the Lord is here to tell us that if you are, we need to get back to that boiling point in our relationship with the Lord. Amen. We stayed in a home years back when I was younger in my ministry, in my 20s. And in this home, they had a real beautiful custom. I liked it. If somebody in the home had a birthday, they would take the gift. Each of the family members would give a gift to the child that had the birthday. And they would, each of the family members that gave a gift to the birthday person would hide it all through the house. And then they would take the birthday person and blindfold their eyes and have them try to find the gifts. And they could say this, you're getting hot or you're getting cold. And as they were going in the direction of the gift, they would say, you're getting hot, you're getting hot. And then as he missed the start turning the other way, you're getting cold, you're getting colder, you're getting colder. Do you understand what I'm saying? Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Aren't you thankful for those ministers that preach the messages that can say, you're getting cold? You're getting cold? May the Lord help us. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. My wife often says, I don't like to eat food that's cold. Meaning, food that should be hot that gets cold. She likes to warm it up again. And I agree. I think all of us feel that the food tastes better warm. Amen. Juicy steak doesn't taste as good when it's cold. The Lord feels the same way about us. He'll enjoy us more if we're hot. May the Lord help us. In fact, He'll spew us out of His mouth if we're cold. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. May the Lord help us to not compromise along those lines. We all know the story of in 1 Kings 11 of Solomon and his many wives. He compromised. He didn't do it in the beginning, and he wasn't going to do it. Obviously, remember Solomon. I'm going to read several verses. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, two of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Yes. 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old. Notice that. He was getting the victory in that point. He wasn't worshiping the other gods from his young age until his old age. I don't know, maybe 50 years. I forget how long Solomon lived. For years he was getting the victory and not worshiping other gods. But because he married women, he was unequally yoked with women, with unbelievers, they eventually turned away his heart. Now this doesn't happen in every case, and we thank the Lord for that, but if you are seeking a mate and you fall for a mate in the world, you could be opening yourself to future compromise and losing your salvation in the future. It says right here, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect. You say, oh, I've been sanctified. I'm perfect. I'm complete in the Lord. I have that perfect holiness. He was not perfect in the way that we are today under grace in the New Testament, that's true. But he was perfect in that standing under the law. And the Lord his God, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully. That indicates that he did go after the Lord still. Compromise. He was still serving the Lord in some way. And went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. And for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Most of you remember Molech, he was a god with the head of a cow and the body of a man, I believe it was, and they would heat him up like red hot coal. There was, I believe, like a slide that led down to him into his open arms, and you would take your newborn baby and put him on that slide, and he'd fall into there and slide into his burning hot coal hands, and the baby would die. You would sacrifice it to him. That was part of your service to him. This is a God that he began to serve. How far can you compromise? How far will compromise lead you? So it says there, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. 8. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Burning incense to an image is idol worship. And it's being done here in the United States. I came from a church that did that. They put flowers at the foot of those things. They kiss them. They give it food at certain times of the year. It's still being done in Mexico to an image. May the Lord spare us. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because, wait, God doesn't get angry. Yes. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned in compromise from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as ye have done this, this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Oh, may the Lord help us. I can just picture those wives of Solomon that he loved, that he clave to and loved, saying, oh, Solomon, I know that it's your conviction that we shouldn't have this little statue of Chemosh, but I just want just a teeny little one to put near my bedside. I promise I won't burn any incense to it. I won't do anything. I'll just keep it there. No, you know, I don't believe in that. There's no way. No compromise. I'm not going to do it. Sorry. And then another one comes and says, oh, honey, if you really love me, you let me have a statue. Just a little star of Chemosh. Just a little star, just a little one. No, honey. No way. I love the Lord. I'm not going to do it. And they just kept at it and at it and at it. Pretty soon he became desensitized. Just quite can happen from watching TV over and over again. It doesn't seem bad to you to be watching anymore. Watching sexual scenes, murder, lying, stealing. It doesn't seem that bad anymore. Pretty soon it didn't seem so bad. Okay, honey, you can have a little statue. And pretty soon he was building altars unto them and setting them on them. You know many people have an altar for their TV? Yeah, it's right there. It's dead center in the living room. On the stand, and there's the altar, and there's the big thing right there. It's not just the TV. I'm not just picking on the TV today, but I'm just saying that that thing is something that the world worships. You watch them and they're sitting like this. Totally in reverence to that thing. Some 8 hours a day. How sad. Is that your God? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. We're almost done, saints. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, God won't compromise when it comes to opening the gates of heavens to us if we're doing these things. He's not going to say, oh, you're going to be an exception. He's not going to say it, saints. He is not going to say that to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. He's not going to say that. But if we have the blood of Jesus on us and we repented, come right in. Amen? Thank the Lord. There's no compromise in heaven. He's not going to make a special exception for us. We better get it right now. May the Lord help us. May we bow before Him and plead. If we have a love for something and we can't let go of it, let's plead tonight that the Lord will set us free, that He'll break that spirit of compromise, that we'll be prayed over, that will be taken out of our lives, that we'll be wholly committed to the Lord. May the Lord help us. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise, no compromise, and there shall in no wise, says the Lord, no compromise in heaven. You're not going to step through doing these things. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord help us. In Mexico, we struggle a lot with the people not telling the truth. They're so used to lying and saying things that are not
true, correct, that it just slips out of their mouth and you know they're lying. And I just, the Lord moves me to preach over and over again, do not lie. Liars will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes they're teeny little lies. Sometimes they're really big ones. And they're lying again and again and again. The Lord says, tell them that no liar is going to enter heaven. May the Lord help us. Oh, tell them I'm not here. Oh, I can't. Tell them I'm not going to the meeting because I don't feel well. But you do. Liars will not enter the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? No compromise. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. This is essential relationship before you are married with either a young guy or a young girl. Crossing over the line of being decent, of being careful. It's called fornication. Nor idolaters. It could be from the worship of money, the worship of your children, to the worship of an image. Nor adulterers. Adulterers, if we're married and we have a cross over the lines and have a sensual relationship with another man or woman while we're married, that's called adultery. Or if you've been married once and you're married again and your husband or wife is still alive, it's called adultery. Nor effeminate. We're hearing from some of the saints that they've legalized again in other states marriage between those that are marrying man with man and woman with woman. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, wanting something that someone else has and being jealous about it, nor drunkards. Oh, just a little sip won't do me wrong. Yeah, but that little sip will lead to some more and you're going to end up being drunk someday. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. There's the hope, brothers and sisters. If you are this tonight, you can leave there saying, I was that before, no longer. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful. While I didn't do those things on there, but I knew that I lied some before I came to Christ. So I'm including that list. I'm thankful that I can say, and such was I. No longer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can't say that, if you can't say, and such was I, you have to say, and such am I. I plead with you tonight to make it right. Right now. Don't leave here without making it right. You don't know if this could be the last time you sit in a meeting. You could go out, you could be in an accident. You can go out and some crazy man trying to kill his wife could shoot you. You never know. May the Lord help us. Brothers and sisters, if those Indians could have been transported to the future and seen what Manhattan Island is today, they wouldn't have compromised, given up everything for that little surprise box. Esau would not have given up his birthright for a little moment of weakness. I want to add something else. When the Lord called me to the ministry, He called me when I was age 11. And it was so clear, and I thought it was just like a thought, like an idea, but as time went on, it just became stronger and stronger. I fought against it. I wasn't willing for the sacrifice. I didn't want to be a minister. Not especially with the requirements of the church that we left. And so I fought it, but when I was getting to age 20, I was managing a McDonald's. And one night I went home and I was lying down in bed and I could not go to sleep. I was tossing and turning because the Holy Spirit was convicting me to cross over, to enter that door that He called me to preach His word, to consecrate my life to serving others by mercy and grace, teaching them the word of God, seeking the lost. It is a calling, a specific calling that the Lord gives you. and I didn't want to do it. Anyway, that night I tossed and I turned and tossed and I turned, and I started to cry literally. And I got down on my knees and by my bed, and I started crying and weeping. I told the Lord crying, I said, I don't have any peace. It doesn't matter what I do or what my goal is, I have no peace. I wanted to be a commercial artist because the Lord had given me the gift of artwork, being artistic, but my heart wasn't even in going to college for that because of the ministry, because of the call God was giving me. And it just was ruining everything. So any of that night, I prayed and I cried and I told the Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. Just give me peace right now. I'll do it. Just whatever you ask, I'll give up anything. I'll do it. Just give me peace, weeping and crying. And I can truly say that I believe that that's when I was fully sanctified, because I gave up everything for that night in my heart. When I got up so happy and so content. I can't even begin to express it. I was so happy and so content because I laid it all on the altar, giving up everything. And anyway, before that happened, the day before that happened, what caused me to be the way the Lord did it was that He spoke a message about Jacob and Esau. And that the thought of this young sister minister that was preaching, this young worker, gospel worker, was the flesh will settle for so little. And then she'd say a little bit more, and then she'd say, the flesh will settle for so little. And she'd preach a little more, and then she'd say, the flesh will settle for so little. Yes. And that's what did it for me. Brothers and sisters, are you settling for so little when you can have so much? The Lord help us.